Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Every morning at 8 a.m., we take the best question you have for Mark Schlereth using hashtag question mark on social media and the text line. And now it's time for Question Mark.
You want to join us right here, Question Mark, live from UC Health Training Center? Be my guest. You can find us at theramoslaw.com. Text line 303-713-1043. Make sure you check out Training Camp 2018, the webcam at 1043thefan.com/live, presented by CSU Global. All right, Question Mark. A lot of questions coming in about Vance Joseph. And is Vance Joseph the right guy? Do you see or have you seen some qualities, Troy? You know, first game notwithstanding, and I've said this, man, that's you. Your team wasn't ready to play. That's one of the criticisms I have for Vance Joseph, and something that's got to be better. It's got to be better this week. But have you seen enough to ease your concerns a little bit based upon last year's disappointment? Have you seen enough this year to at least ease your concerns about how overwhelming that job looked last year and the approach he has coming to this season?
I have not. Now, I think the approach has improved. The coaching staff around him fits his personality better. But here's the issue, Mark. What we see on the practice field doesn't matter until it translates in a game situation.
Right.
So for them to talk all offseason about new culture, new start, new coaches, different mindset, and then to go out there and lay an egg in those first two series, offensively and defensively, you can't say that it's different.
Right.
It's the same story until they change the narrative. In this case, Vance Joseph, I asked him about that yesterday, and he talked at length. It was about a minute and a half answer about, you know, it's unacceptable. We give up 17 points, and we're down 17-0 in the first quarter. It's ugly. That can't happen. Offensively, have 2-3 and outs. You know, that kind of stuff can't happen. He knows it. John Elway said it in an interview yesterday that they got to be better out of the tunnel. And so how does that happen? That's why, and I asked Vance Joseph again. He says it's a mindset. Well, if that's the case, that there's ownership on the players. I'm not absolving them.
Mm-hmm.
But the start of a game comes from scripted plays, coaching staff. It's really directed by the coaches.
Right.
So are the coaches not putting them in a position to succeed? Are the athletes not executing what they think is the right game plan? Somewhere there was a disconnect last week. And if you see it again against the Bears, and frankly, if you see it against the Redskins in week three, then it's time to hit the panic button.
Scott from Inglewood asks, Troy, what's it going to take for Vance to keep his job this season?
Wins. I mean, it's that simple. You know, they got 5-11 last year, and he held his job because of the fact they said it would not be fair to him to get 1 year based on the quarterback play. Then there's a fair argument to that they had the worst quarterback play outside of the Browns. Well, now they have Case Keenum, a guy they think can be the answer, at least short term. So if they go out and throw out a 6-10 with Case Keenum, I don't think Vance survives it. The bigger question is, if they get off to a slow start with multiple games at home, how much trouble would he be in, let's say at 1-3 or 2-3?
Right.
That's the more curious question for me. And it all goes back to, fans, if they get off to a slow start, nobody's wishing that on. We've seen that, you know, we saw the end of last year. You don't want them to be out of it by a month into the season. But it's not that you lose, it's how you lose. And last year, what almost cost him his job were the blowout losses.
Right.
The double-digit losses.
And they were ugly now.
They were out by halftime in multiple games.
Right.
At L.A., where they got shut out for the first time against the Chargers since 1992. They won one road game last year. They haven't won an AFC West road game since Peyton Manning retired. Some of those trends have got to change. I mean, that's just the reality of it. It is a results-oriented business. So is he in? What does he need to do? He needs to win. I mean,
right.
He needs to win, and they need to be competitive throughout the season.
You guys talk a lot about the first preseason game where the starters play two series and how they didn't punch back. Let's overreact, media, overreact. That's Jeff in Thornton, spelled with a G, if that is your name, Geoff. Listen, Geoff, I'm going to tell you something right now. That's such a skim milk take, and it's such an excuse. right? You're making an excuse for a team because you're a fan. I get it. I appreciate your fandom, Geoff. But here's the point. Like, you are what you are. Like, you are what, like Bill Parcells said, you are what your record says you are. You are what the film says you are. And you know what the film says you are? After last week, it says you're soft. And that's the ugliest four-letter word in football. So you can sit there and say, hey, it's only the first preseason game. It's only two series. You know what? It's a it is an extension of last season and the way this team played. And you know what? If you want to see this team play like they played last season and carry those traits over last season that led to a 5-11 season, then be my guest. But my frankly, I don't want to see it. Like, you knew, you're coming out, new quarterback, new attitude, new team, new everything, new draft. Like, you've got this whole thing, all this new stuff, and you've got a certain amount of excitement and a level of expectation. I had a level of expectation, Troy, and my level of expectation was not met. There was a disappointment. Like, if you look at that first I don't care if it's one series or two series. You look at that first preseason game, if you're not disappointed with the way they played, then you're a super fan with orange-colored glasses, and you're not looking at them critically. I mean, hey, Aqib Talib said it on the way out, and everybody just kind of poo-pooed it. They got rid of all the dogs. You know what I didn't see? I didn't see one dog in game one. Now, hopefully we see it today. Hopefully we see a team that stands up. Hopefully we see a team that punches back. Hopefully we see a team that's not fake tough guys.
Like, I'm not worried about that. They do have dogs on defense, and it starts with Von Miller. It starts with
what Richard. About on offense?
Offense, I don't know that. I can't sit here and tell you that. That's been a problem. They've had no identity the last 2 years offensively. So I'm not going to say that. They have guys who have talent, potential, but we got to see it. And it starts with Case Keenum and his leadership. But they have guys on defense, and I do believe the defense will figure it out. But to the texter's question, the reason I would argue with you that it's not an overreaction is because of what Mark's laying out. It connects directly back into last season.
Right.
That's the problem. I covered the Rockies for years, and they always fresh start, and then you start the season, 2-11. Well, why do you keep bringing up last year's road record? Well, because you look like last year's team. If you want the story to change, so show different results. And offensively, if you think it's the media, the fans were harder on them than we were.
Right.
The fans were booing them in a preseason game.
Right.
If that doesn't tell you the level of angst that exists from last season, I don't know what does.
You're preaching to the choir, man. I'm right there. Hey, I wasn't at the game. I was sitting in my couch and I was booing them. Like I'm like, boo!
Oh my
God.
Get
off the field!
Take your eye black off there, Ace. You're not playing anymore.
Well, I had my helmet on, and I had one of my old helmets on, and I was in a 3-point stance for most of the first quarter until my hips got tired, and I was like, oh, these damn hips. anyhow, so I mean, it's just the whole thing is upsetting. Got a great question. For you, Troy, about the Colorado Rockies, and just said, Troy, like, what are the odds that this team, no name on this, but what are the odds this team can ride this kind of resilient train they've been on all the way to their first NL West crown?
It's possible because of the storm they've already weathered. They've already weathered the storm of 3 walk-off losses in 5 days, their bullpen dissolving before their eyes, and yet here they are in position to still win it. Now, they have to figure out a way to get consistent bullpen outings throughout the stretch. I mean, they're hot again because of the fact that they've pitched well, they keep themselves in the games, in the front of the rotation. Can they do it? I would still say numbers would tell you because of their plus-minus, they're still a negative run differential, I believe, they won 5. They're a negative run differential of minus 13. Typically, when you're a negative run differential, you don't have a winning record.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The only other team that's in the hunt that has a winning record with a negative run differential right now, Seattle Mariners. So what they're doing is a little bit difficult to show that you can keep winning, yet you're not consistently dominating teams. Can they do it? The texture's at, I would put it at 25-30% right now that they get to, that they win the division. I would give them a 50-50 shot to reach the playoffs at this point. They're putting, but it's going to take 90 wins, folks. I thought it was going to be 88. 88 got them in last year. I don't think 88 gets them in. And they may have to win the West as their only avenue in.
Troy, I think they have to win the West. I think to get in the playoffs, they've got to win the West. They've got to do something special. And something special is, hey, win the West for the first time in a quarter of a century. The first time in your existence, you have got to win the West. And if you don't win the West, I don't think you get in because Milwaukee is hot. You know, there's a bunch of other teams right now that are playing really good baseball. So I don't know where they are. They're one game out of the West. Where are they in the wild card hunt? A couple games out in the wild card hunt as well? Hold on. I'll effort that. Ben, can you give me some efforting music, my friend? Just a little efforting music would be great. Let's go to it. Thank you, Ben. I love this. I love the efforting music. Yeah, turn that up a little bit. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, look at Milwaukee, Philadelphia, St. Louis, all ahead of them, but only a game and a half ahead. In the wild card, huh? So maybe there is a chance to get in as a wild card, but I still think you're going to get in. I think if you get in, you're going to get in as the NL West champ. That's kind of just my gut feeling. No? Yes? Maybe?
Again, the fact they've never won the West is why when I take pause, because you're saying well, they got to do something they've never done in the history of the franchise to reach the playoffs. That would be, I wouldn't say a shame, but given what they've weathered, and if they, let's say they win 87 games, 89 games, and don't get in, that would be a difficult pill to swallow. But the key remains, Mark, they've got to find a way to sort the bullpen over these next 6 weeks. Ottavino looked fine last night. Davis looked fine. They're going to need contribution from O. I would still try to go out and add another arm before. You can add a non-waiver trade. You could have a waiver trade deadline coming up at August 31st. Go get one more guy. Now, he has to clear waivers. It's a little more difficult than it was at the July 31st trade deadline, but I would still try to add an arm. And I think when you have a chance to bring up Matt Holliday here in the next week or so, he's going to help give you a right-handed bat off the bench. With all due respect to Tony Walters and Pat Valeka, the Rockies bench is just not very good at times. Now you throw a Matt Holliday in the mix,
right,
against a lefty in the seventh inning. Would you like to have him come up, Mark, with first and second? The idea he could run into one with a double or a home run. So this is where I see the pieces starting to come together. You add Holliday for depth off the bench for the September run. You go get one more arm if you can to add to that pen and then say, hey, here we go. But give them credit because they had every reason to dissolve after that trip against St. Louis and Milwaukee and that horrible loss to the Dodgers last Thursday. And they stepped back and counterpunch. That's what we keep talking about with the Broncos. They've shown they can be punched in the face.
Right.
Who's going to counterpunch? The Rockies took just punch to the nose, punch to the throat, and yet here they are, four-game winning streak.
I'm going to say something that I've never ever said, that I've never uttered before, and it just popped into my head as you were talking. I'm listening to you. I hope the Broncos play with the toughness the Rockies have played with.
And you don't hear that every year.
Right?
As someone who covered the Rockies.
I hope take the Rockies lead and play with the resiliency and the toughness that the Rockies have played with. Last one here on Question Mark. I'll keep it open. The RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043 if you want to get a question in for Troy or you want to get a question in for me. Feel free to give us a call. We're live at Broncos Training Camp, Broncos Camp 2018, presented by Matthews Fine Watches and Jewelry and Epic Mountain Gear. This one comes in on the Ramos.com text line. What are the odds that Nolan Arenado is here next year, Troy? I mean, you're knee-deep into baseball and the Colorado Rockies. You followed them forever, and you still keep, you know, close tabs on baseball. So what do you think the odds are?
Again, I put it right at 50-50. You know, if they feel like it's, here's what needs to happen. If they get into the playoffs, that certainly strengthens their argument. Hey, Nolan, look around. You got Freeland. You got Gray. You got Marquez.
Right.
You got Senzatella. We got the
four. By the way, Gray has shown unbelievable toughness since his demotion.
Yeah, he's
back.
Pitched well. And he earned that demotion. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, no, I get it. But you know what? How do you respond to it? Hey, you know what? Look at the difference between the number one overall, or the number, I think he was three overall, right out of Okie State. when he was drafted, Gray? Was he 3 or 4 overall, whatever he was?
Yeah, 3.
Okay, you're looking at a first rounder there. You're looking at how he responded to the demotion. Look how Paxton Lynch has responded every time he's been challenged with another seventh rounder that he's got to beat out. He can't get it done. So he's been phenomenal. But continue your point with Nolan Arenado on a 50-50.
Well, here's, again, I throw it at 50-50, and hopefully that needle moves, but if they make the playoffs, that strengthens the argument for them, and they can point to good young starting pitching, which rarely have they been this robust at the rotation with guys you know are going to be around for a few years. That's important to a guy, I'm assuming, like Nolan, knowing how much he wants to win. The other thing is, Mark, at some point, you have to put an offer in front of him. You know, whether it's a kid's scholarship or whether it's a contract negotiation at your own office, at some point they got to see what's that number going to look like. So remember, he's a free agent after the 19 season. So if they go to him and say, Nolan, what about $300 million? And maybe he could get more on the open market, but what about $300 million? Life-changing, generational money that you don't have to worry for injury over another season, that you can literally sign that and you've hit the Powerball and you're set for life. That's the kind of offer, like, that would tell me if I'm Nolan, like, okay, they're dead serious. They want me. But because you can't go to him and say, what about 225 and option, you know, and start. Because he's going to get the height of the value on the market. He's going to have the leverage. And he's only 1 year away from free agency now. So they don't have the old, we'll extend you with 2 years before free agency, but you got to give us an option year type thing. That all evaporated now. Because he enters the final year of arbitration next year. So, two things happen here. Can they get into the playoffs with a strong rotation, young rotation? And when do they go to Nolan with a real offer to make him mull it and decide, yes, that money's life-changing, and I see a rotation that's going to be good for the next 3 to 4 years, sign me in? Or, you know what, it feels like you tried to lowball me, and I see better opportunities with pitching and contending consistently elsewhere because he wants to win. You saw that, folks, in late June, early July when he talked about his frustration. He's not going to want to sign up for a 7-8-year deal and go, oh, I hope in that 8 years I make the playoffs once. He's not signing up for that.
Yeah.
But their argument is strengthening. He likes the group of guys he's with, and the pitching is hard not to like in terms of the front of the rotation.
Well, I think you have to look at the front of the rotation, and you look at what Freeland has done, what Marquez has done here recently, what the Gray Wolf has done since he returned to the starting lineup or returned from his demotion, and you've got to look at that young pitching, those three right there, and think to yourself, man, we got a chance. Like, we've got a chance to be good for the long haul. And obviously the bullpen, there's been some scuffles there, but, you know, Ottavino is legit. And you and I both know Wade Davis's stuff plays. I mean, there's no question that it plays, and it's played for a long time. The only question you have to ask is, has all the wear and tear caught up to him? Whether that's true or whether that's false, I don't know. I don't think it is. I think he's going to be fine here for the push. But, yeah, if you're a playoff contender, a playoff contender for years, and you win a NL West crown and the Rockies do right by offering him a real contract, not one of these fake contracts like the Steelers offered Le'Veon Bell, then yeah, I think there's a good chance. One more that I want to get to right here. Rank and Schlereth, I haven't heard any commentators put the Minnesota game in proper context. This is from Colin in Windsor. They have an entire team that knows the playbook and offense with one new addition that has to catch up. That's Cousins. The Broncos' entire offense is learning a new system. And, of course, the Broncos' offense isn't comparable to Minnesota. I would tell you this, Colin. The Minnesota Vikings, yes, they inserted a new quarterback into a system. They lost their offensive coordinator. So there's going to be some changes in that system because their offense coordinator is now the head coach of the New York Giants. I'm just trying to give you the full context of what you're trying to say because you're not entirely correct. You're kind of wrong on this. So they lost their offense coordinator. So there is some new terminology. Yeah, it's all carryover and stuff, but it's somebody else presenting it. There will be some new terminology. There will be a difference in play calling. You've got a new quarterback. Oh, by the way, I think 3 of their 5 starting offensive linemen didn't play in that game. Their starting running back didn't play in that game. I mean, this is not like the Minnesota Vikings are going to roll into town week 1 of the regular season and you still got rolled over. Like, you still got beat down. So I don't want to hear, like, I don't understand how we as Bronco fans are sometimes in the excuse-making, like we're in the business of excuse-making for our team. I'm done with the excuses. It's time to put up or shut up. It's time for Vance Joseph to coach this team, coach them hard, get them ready to play, to show up on game day ready to, I don't care if it's a preseason game, ready to roll. And if you don't get that done, that's on you. I mean, those are the things that we have to talk about. So this team needs to be a hell of a lot better than it was last year, and they need to improve upon the things that really hurt them last year. And so far, we have the sample size we have. The sample size is one preseason game and some practices. And so far, that's all we have to go on. But, shoot, that's what you have to go on. That's what you have to go on. And you've got to use past performance as a future predictor. I mean, that's how this game is played.
You can't make excuses for them after 5-11. Again, you know, having covered it and lived it every day. I mean, maybe you follow it every day too, Texter. And thank you for your interest in the program and for following along. It's not the climate to make excuses for this team right now. Let's put it that way. If this is the year after the Super Bowl and they have this kind of preseason game and or games, there's a reservoir of goodwill there, Mark.
Right.
And there's a thing to lean back on, like, hey, it's an ugly preseason. Remember that team we saw at the end of last year? Remember the team that when it was on the brink in the Super Bowl year and Gary Kubiak made a speech in Pittsburgh and said, are you with me? And all they did was win out. That's what you fall back on the year after the Super Bowl.
Right.
They're now 3 years removed from that, haven't been to the playoffs since, are 7-15 over their last 22, 2-10 over their last 12. You just can't overlook the signs when they don't play well and say, it'll figure itself out. Now it's, you ask, based on what? It used to be they'll figure it out because, yeah, they always do. They go to the playoffs, they fall out of bed and win 12 games, and they compete, and they're in there at the end. That was the Broncos for how many years? And largely, let's be honest, connected to Peyton Manning. Now, Mark, how can you say that? Oh, they'll be fine when they're 7-15 over their last 22, 2-10 over their last 12, haven't won an AFC West road game since Manning retired. Those are real facts. So when we don't see it on the practice field or we don't see it in a preseason game, you might see it as overreaction. We see it as part of a thread continuing the last 2 years.
Right.
So change it. Change it.
Yeah.
Don't talk about what's different. Nobody wants to hear about it. I covered the Rockies and I lived it. Nobody wants to hear about your new slogan until you win. And now all you talk about with the Rockies is, man, I can believe in them again. I trust they're going to recover. They're going to get back off the mat. Trust me, if that was 5 years ago and they had losses like they did at St. Louis and Milwaukee, you would have been, they're dead. This is the Rockies. They're awful. They never win.
Mm-hmm.
Now they went to the playoffs last year. What's different? So now when they lose, you're like, well, you know what? They might bounce back because they did last year. This team hasn't bounced back in 2 years and took a huge drop, the spiral, a year ago. So now they have to prove it. That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying.
Right.
They've lost the benefit of the doubt. That's the cycle of sports. Sports are Darwinism. The strong survive, baby. That's how this is.
Right.
If you don't like it, play better.
Yeah, if you don't want to be criticized, play better. And I know this. Slogans on T-shirts don't win games. You know, little plaques on the locker room hanging off the top of the door of the locker room that you tap on the way out that don't win games. What wins games is toughness and execution. And that's what this team has lacked. Can they get it back? Maybe I'm just old. Maybe that's the way it is. Can they get it back? We shall see. But today is the first step in that direction, and we'll discuss it next.
Mark Schlereth here. When you're looking to replace your windows, you want the best. That's why I endorse Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. They sell Infinity from Marvin fiberglass windows. You can't buy Infinity windows from big box stores, so you know they never compromise on quality. Infinity fiberglass windows offer unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and durability. So call my friends at Gravina's Window Center of Littleton, 303-794-0490, or find them online at windowsforyourhome.com, and make sure you tell them Stink sent you.
Hey, welcome back to Schlereth and Evans, live from the UC Health Training Center. Broncos training camp going to kick off here against the Chicago Bears, a joint practice at 9:30, about an hour from now. This practice is the last practice of this training camp that's going to be open to the public. So you want to get out here to UC Health Training Center. It's going to be the best practice that they have had from a standpoint of competitiveness and another team in town. So it's one of those that if you've got an opportunity to come out here and check it out, you want to do that. I am Mark Schlereth sitting in for Mike Evans. Troy Rank also in for Mike Evans. It takes two of us for crying out loud. And as always, Troy's brought to you by Tranny Law. If you or somebody you know has been charged with a DUI, call for free consultation, 303-333-1816, or go to TRANILaw.com. You know, obviously the joint practice is a big thing. We've talked a lot about that, Troy. Also, guys on the open market, where do you see this team going? Tight end, defensive back. I know Orlando Scandrick was released from the Washington Redskins after 5 months with the Redskins. And for all those of you who sit there and say, oh, you know, these players need to honor their contracts, you know, and hey, you know what, this guy is sitting out because he wants more money because he's outperformed his contract. Just understand that Orlando Scandrick signed a contract with the Washington Redskins and got released after 5 months, you know, without even really playing. So just understand that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But is that a guy that you kick the tires on? There's a couple other guys out there in the open market, Troy. Do you see any place after week one of the preseason where they need to bolster kind of the ranks, if you will, on this team? Is there anybody out there that's available that you think they should look at or kick the tires on?
Well, I think they're still thin. It's worrisome when I look at the secondary right now with nickelback. Isaac Yiadom started. Mm-hmm. He got picked on, as you would expect, as a rookie in the Stephon Diggs play. And it wasn't bad coverage, but it was clearly the difference of being at BC and being in the NFL.
Right.
I mean, a perfect pass, perfect route, and he gets beat for a touchdown. I need to see what Tremaine Brock looks like, because he was okay in OTAs, but I didn't walk away from OTAs saying, oh, yeah, that position's figured out. And he hasn't played much in this camp because of a hamstring. Mm-hmm. So secondary is an issue, and if they don't see what they like from him, meaning Brock specifically, I think you've got to consider picking up the phone with Kayvon Webster to add depth, and it's a guy you know, if healthy, can play special teams. Scandrick, my guess is he's going to end up in Kansas City. They've had injuries there with their cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him going in right there and starting right away. There will be a number of teams interested, but he's going to look for a starting job, Mark. And the Broncos, if their interest in Scandrick right now would be as a nickelback, I can't imagine he would be down for that. He'll find someplace that will give him a chance to start, and that's not here right now because they have Chris Harris and Bradley Roby. But we've got to keep an eye on that. Tight end, I think they're going to be okay. They're more bullish on Jeff Heuerman than you and I are. They see him as a different tight end. Vance Joseph explained yesterday that the depth chart with tight end really could change depending on the opponent. You know, that if Heuerman's more of your inline guy for blocking per se, which I still think Jake Butt's been better at blocking this camp than Heuerman from what little I've seen of Heuerman. But they think they're okay with Heuerman, Jake Butt, who I think eventually will be the clear starter. And then you have Lacoste, you have Parker. Austin Traylor's now hurt, and Fumagalli's hurt. So if they added a tight end, it would be for depth. But the position that concerns me, they're thin on the offensive line, and they're thin in the secondary. They're kind of one injury away at both of those places that leave me a little concerned.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly have bolstered this roster. There's no question about it. But at the same time, you know, there's a bunch of question marks with this roster. Troy, every time you say Troy Fumagalli, you know what I think of? I think of Rupert Holmes. Do you like pina coladas? You remember that song, the pina colada song?
The Jimmy Buffett song?
No.
Oh, Rupert yeah.
If you like pina colada,
I always think that. I always think that's a Jimmy Buffett song.
Yeah, that's no. That's
it. Reminds me of Jimmy Buffett.
That's Rupert. He got out of the music industry. Well, he didn't get out of the music industry. He left the pop music industry.
Good.
He also had that song Jim, or him. I mean him. What's she gonna do about him? And he went into children's music. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
You probably didn't care. I don't think anybody really cares.
I'm going to say, I don't think anyone listening right now,
right,
they're just steering off into the guardrails.
I'm going to leave.
Sleep.
Okay, no, but I'm going to leave you with
something.
We're
going to talk about Coco Cabana next?
I'm going to leave you with something. I'm going to leave you with something that you're going to be humming in your head all day long, and you're going to curse my name for the rest of the day. And that's what I do, right? So I said it reminded me of the Pina Colada song because I think of, if you like Troy Fumagalli, running down in the seam. Yeah. So anyhow, I just wanted to leave that with you guys because it just popped into my head. And you know that I am somewhat of a squirrel when it comes to things that pop into my head.
Squirrel!
Troy, do you expect today to get a little bit more clarity on the running back position. Because I think one of the things that has to happen in this joint practice and the next joint practice, which is tomorrow, I think that this running, you've got to develop some clarity in the running back position. You've got to say, listen, we didn't run the ball for 2 inches last week. Obviously, we had the one long run Freeman off of a zone read, which is not something that we were doing with our starting quarterback. You know, that was a Paxton Lynch play, so to speak. So I need some clarity in the running back position. I need to establish kind of a run game and what we're going to be. I think today is the day that you have to do that. I think you've got to make a decision. It'll be interesting to see if they continue to rotate these guys or if they say, here's our guy. We're going to kind of establish ourselves right now, because I think today is the day you have to do that.
Well, Vance Joseph even said, like, we know what we have in Booker. And he said it as kind of, we know because we've seen him for 2 years. I would say it like, yeah, you do. And he averages 3.6 yards per carry.
Right.
He didn't show anything different against the Vikings. So for me, I want to give more run to Royce Freeman, literally and figuratively.
Right.
And see what it looks like. Is this a guy that can take this job by the nape of the neck and say, this is my job, and cast Royce Freeman perhaps as a third down guy? But they said it. They kind of know what they have in Booker. I want to see Freeman. I talked to Freeman yesterday, Mark. Say, what do you need to do? He said, I got to keep getting better. He's a humble guy, very mature for his age.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he acts the part of a guy who played college for 4 years and ran the ball like 600 times. He's not, the lights aren't too big for him. Aren't too bright.
Right.
Give it a long look out here. Let's see. And if it does, you don't like it, you can always go back to Booker, but you can't average 3.6 yards a carry as a starting running back. You can't. We can't sit here and talk about it as we did in the last hour. Establish a physical identity, impose your will, and oh, by the way, our running back can't break a tackle or make anyone miss. Like, those are counterintuitive. If it's going to work and you're going to impose your will as an offensive line, don't you need the help of a running back, Mark? You've lived it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're up there all winning your battles, your one-on-ones, and the guy's coming out and slipping on banana pills, at some point you got to have a guy behind you that's in concert. So I agree. Get Royce Freeman out there. Give him some run. I want to see a lot of Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton over the next 2 days. I want to see a lot of Jake Butt in these next 2 days. Because if you want to get ready for the regular season, these practices can help ramp up and microwave their learning curve. Get them out there. Get them extra time.
You know what one of the worst things is as an offensive lineman? When you're blocking your dude and all of a sudden you get you know, a face mask in your backside.
Which is your running back.
Right.
Running
and
up.
And it's your running back. You know, I mean, so far Booker runs, you know what, he runs like a dog. You know what dogs do? I walk my dog every day. Well, I get home from work, I get home from this, and I take my wife and I, and we walk the dog. And you know what dogs like to do? They like to smell butts of other dogs. That's what they do. And the running back, I mean, Booker is like in the butts of the offense. Like, you're a butt runner. Like, you run into butts and you fall down. Like, you cannot be a butt runner. You cannot you can't be a dog. Like, a dog in that, you've got to be a dog like a dog. Like, I'm tough and I'm going to run you over. But you can't be just sniffing a butt and falling down. Like, thank you. That is. You know what? You're welcome. You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. So, I mean, Booker, like, I ain't ever seen anybody run into the backside of his offensive lineman so often and fall down. You quit being a butt runner. And that's what he has shown me to be to this point. So I need somebody that's got some dynamic nature to him, that's got some ability to make people miss, and can get the tough yards inside. And I haven't seen that in Booker. So we need to move, like, to me, as an offense, we need to move on from that. And let's just, you know, you look at this quarterback situation, and you know what, we'll discuss this, because we made a big move for a quarterback this offseason. We made the move for Case Keenum, and what we said that Case Keenum needed, and everybody agreed upon this, what we need so far in game one, we did not give him that, and today they have to establish that, and we'll talk about what that is next. Scott, were you listening to the program? Do you remember what I teased? What we were going to talk about? You weren't listening.
Out.
Oh, how the Broncos can. Thank you, Ben. Look at Ben.
Somebody cares.
Millennial Ben. Listen, you know what? If it wasn't for you, this show would just be an absolute, well, it is a train wreck. But if it wasn't for you, it would be more of a train wreck than this show is a train wreck. Live from UC Health Training Center, we're about oh, I don't know, 45 minutes away or so from the top practice between the Chicago Bears and Denver Broncos as they kick off here live at UC Health Training Center. Mark Schlereth sitting in for Mike Evans in the big boy chair trying to host this show, trying to keep it on the rails. It's not really working very well. And Troy Rank from Denver 7 Bronco Insider joining me. So we ad nauseum, you know, we talked about a lot of people were nervous because everybody wanted, you know, everybody wanted Kirk Cousins, you know, and everybody's all excited about Kirk Cousins. The Broncos had, you remember Emmanuel Sanders talking about Kirk Cousins. I remember Von Miller tweeting about Kirk Cousins and the potential of Kirk Cousins, and obviously that didn't work out. He didn't come here. He went to Minnesota. The rest is history. We ended up getting Case Keenum, and we've talked ad nauseum what Case Keenum is. Like, is he the journeyman that he's been up until last year, or is he the guy that completed 67% of his passes, 22 TDs, 7 interceptions? Which one is he? And for me, I think he's more of the guy he was last year, but what did we all talk about coming into the season? Dude, to support him, you've got to play the style of football that they played in Minnesota last year. What was that style? Well, they were third in the league as far as attempts are concerned. They gave their running backs plenty of carries over the course of the season. Even though they didn't have a great yard per carry average, they were still one of the top teams as far as attempts are concerned. They set up the play action. They gave him opportunities to throw off the play action. He was one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league at 67% completion percentage. They did things that fit him well. They got him out of the pocket, and he was great at avoiding sacks late, you know, and extending plays. But the bottom line, to me, it all comes off of being physical and being able to consistently run the ball. And you weren't able to do that. In game one, you established no running game. You established no physicality. And you established no first downs. As a matter of fact, in the first half, what did they have, one first down in the first half? I think one first down.
Yeah, they didn't have any with the first team, obviously, three and outs.
So, I mean, it just wasn't good enough. But we've talked about it. Everybody's talked about what you need to get Case Keenum to play at the level that he played at last year. And obviously, week one, you didn't accomplish that in the preseason. So today, more than ever, is a day that I believe you've got to start to establish what you are. Identity becomes important. And that's what I want to sit here and look for today. What is the identity of this offense, and how do they take the pressure off their quarterback? Because there's no question that Case Keenum is a huge, a big-time upgrade over last year. But are you going to give him the opportunity to continue the success that he had last year? Are you going to give him the opportunity to thrive? And based on the game plan in week one, even though they were, you know, not game planning, so to speak, but based on the way that game played out, that's not going to be good enough to get him to maintain the level that he was at last year with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, when they were winning, the Broncos were rock stars, and they were Mick Jagger. Mm-hmm. They were David Lee Roth. They were Vince Neil. Now they're the bassist. Like, I think I know that guy.
Right.
He looks fairly familiar, but I'm not sure. Like, that's their identity. It's confusing. Like, they're this really good band that I've always known, but their last couple albums, I can't say that I've downloaded anything.
Right.
You know, but I used to really like them. But what did you like about the Broncos? Well, Peyton Manning, of course. But the year they won their last Super Bowl, it was Orange Rush. They got after you. And during the stretch run, their line figured it out. Ryan Harris, Michael Schofield, Matt Paradis, guys who were getting just crushed, especially Schofield and Harris. They put it together. Chicken wire, duct tape, put it together in the playoffs, made a run and won it. And they were physical. In that Super Bowl, C.J. Anderson had like 95 yards, ugly yards, but what did it do? Grind the clock, keep the defense off the field. Even if it was a Gatorade break for the defense, they were keeping them off the field. So, to your point, who are they offensively? Defensively, I think I know who they are, but they're built to play with a lead. So they need the offense, and they need Keenum. But to your point, Keenum needs a running game. They were really good in Minnesota because they committed to the running game. They were top five in rush attempts and rush yards. So on even games, they weren't running it well, as you always tell me. To be able to run when you want to, not when you have to stay stubborn with it at times. But they're in this box because if they stay stubborn and keep going three and out, what do they hear?
Mm-hmm.
Boos, criticism, Same old Broncos the last couple years. So they've got to get through that threshold of second and five based on what? A run.
Yes.
It's third and two based on short pass. Now I could either give it to Freeman with Jano in the backfield, or I could throw a quick slant.
Right.
But you can't be second and seven because your running back gets you 3 yards on
right.
first down.
And part of this, too, just the mentality overall, part of it comes from the coaching staff. You've got to commit to it.
Yes.
You've got to want to do it. You can't get discouraged when you get a 2 yard gain. You got to look at the flip side of that, like the percentages. Like Sam Adams was talking about the difference between, as I went to his comedy show, and Sam Adams, it was great comedy works. And he was talking about the way that the difference between men and women when they look at statistics. We're like, hey, Nolan Arenado hitting 320 or 310 or whatever it is, 30 home runs, blah, blah, blah. And the gal going, oh, you mean, 68% of the time that, he's not hitting? Like it's the difference of how you look at it. Like so many people in this league look at a 2 yard gain as like a bad play. But if it's 2 yard gain where you're wearing people out, where you're busting people in the mouth, where it's a physical nasty 2 yard gain, then it has a purpose. So it's not only from the coaching staff staying committed to it, but it's also from the guys up front. Man, you have to earn the opportunity to run the ball in this league. And you have to prove that you're going to be successful and you're going to be nasty and you're going to grind it out. And the ancillary benefit to that is that you don't have to throw it.
And it creates an attitude.
Right.
It shows the line you believe in them.
Right.
And that's, again, that fine line.
But you have to also show the coaching staff that they can trust you.
Yeah,
right?
You got to give them a reason to believe. Like, I can keep telling you, we want to run, but at some point you got to give me some yards. I can't keep calling the 15 and the 14 if we're getting 1 yard, losing yards. So, but in life, you get good at what you emphasize. Whether it's weight loss, whether it's doing reports for your work that you spend an extra 12 hours, whatever you emphasize in life, you typically get good at.
Right.
So to get better at the run, you have to run.
Yes.
Like you can't go three wide shotgun every game to start out. What message does that send your lineman? We don't believe in you. We don't trust you. And if that's not a lineman thing, because to hear them talk, their line played close to what you guys did in the 90s, and they were nothing short of the Hogs. Based on that series, I didn't see that. I don't dissect line video like you do. So if that's the case, if your line played well, then who's it on?
Right.
That suggests it's on the guy getting the ball. So give Royce Freeman a little bit of extra run.
Yeah.
Sneak in Henderson, Williams, and Lindsey. See what it looks like, because you keep saying you know what you have in Booker. And whether that's a comforting thought that you know, or for me, it's like, I do know, and I think he's a third down back. Give someone else some run, because you have to leave this camp with an idea of who your running back is. If you're going to do a committee, you're not going to establish an identity up front. You're just not. I don't believe in that. Not where this team is right now in the forming of a new culture. If you're going to say, we're tough, we're mean, oh, but we have seven different running backs. Give me a break. That's not going to work.
Yeah, and I'm 100% with you. I believe it's not running back by committee. I believe you need to have a bell cow. I believe today is the day you have to establish that bell cow. You got to figure out who that guy is. In these next two, not just today, but tomorrow as well, in these next two practices, that has got to be like one of your top priorities if you're a Broncos coaching staff. We got to figure out what we are, who we are, and we have to start today establishing our identity.
You know what? We just have a skit right there, the Saturday Night Live skit. You know what this team needs? Not more cowbell, more bell cow.
More bell cow,
this
that's
team needs
right.
more bell cow.
Right.
They put their pants on just the way we do, except ours are 24 karat.
Yes.
We need more bell cow.
They put their pants on just like I do, except when I pull my pants on, I pull out three Super Bowl rings. Boom. That's
We
need more bell cow. We'll see if we get more bell cow, because we're going to be here at practice all day, and we'll report back to you tomorrow morning live from UC Health Training Center. Schlereth and Evans for Troy Rank. I am Mark Schlereth. Cecil and Pritch, they're up next.